Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I am your host, Webby. Joining me today, we got my co-host, Mr. Rob.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob.
So, Rob, you did SU solo for me last week.
Did you listen to it or no?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was kind of in a off headspace, and then by the time I even thought about the recording, it was already super late, and that's generally when I try to lean on you, is because I know, like, oh, it's fucking 1 a.m. I'm fucking beat. I'm ready to go to bed, but Rob stays up until fucking 6 a.m. So let's see if Rob will cover me for SU this week, sort of thing. I did notice not last week or the week before, so 3 weeks ago, we just outright forgot to do an episode.
Yeah.
So I apologize to the listeners for that. Things have been hectic.
Before we move on, though, did that sound like an interesting game to you? Because I know you liked Civ 5. And it's more like that, where you build the buildings inside the main city and all that.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, changes to it, but
I think I would have to watch gameplay of it.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of see, because, like, Civ 6, it's like, okay, if you said Civ 5, and then you were like, oh yeah, they came out with a Civ 6, like, I bought Civ 6. But it wasn't until I started playing it that there was just, like, small differences that I just didn't really care for.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of, to me, it just ruined the game. But there is actually another game that I want to actually, because you love these types of games.
Mm-hmm.
I watched somebody stream it and I just put it on my wish list. It's number one on my Steam wish list right now. Let me pull up my Steam store wish list. It's called Manor Lords. Now I watched somebody stream it, and apparently this was the most wish listed game on Steam until its release. It is currently 25% off, has a very positive review. It's in early access, but essentially what it is Manor Lords, let's see. Manor Lords is a medieval strategy game featuring in-depth city building, large-scale tactical battles, and complex economic and social simulations. Rule lands as a medieval lord. The seasons pass, the weather changes, and the cities rise and fall. And from my understanding, what it is you own, like, this small chunk of land in a much larger region.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then there are other lords amongst the region, and then there are I think that there are also free, like, unsettled and unclaimed sections of land as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have bandit camps, just like in Civ, that will come out and try to, like, pillage things from various villages and stuff. But you build up your villages, and like Civ, you know, you try to expand, so you can expand through growth, and you can apparently win the game through growth. whether that be like economic growth or whatnot, you can just outright do what I usually do, which is usually a kick in the balls to me, and that's just forcefully take over everything. But I wanted to mention that to you today, actually, for you to at least go and look at it on Steam. Because like I said, I was watching somebody play it on Twitch this morning, and it seemed real interesting. You can set up like farms and so like it's a little bit more, it's like Civ, but more zoomed in on a, you're building up the city instead of building up cities in a region.
Gotcha.
But you have things like your loggers who will go out and cut down trees to put in your logging storage to build houses. And mm-hmm. then you have your carpenters who, you know, will do other various things, blacksmiths. And
so it sounds like it's kind of a,
just like in Civ.
It sounds like it's kind of a combination of Civ and like Warcraft 3, where you had to like have people and build certain buildings and assign them to cut down trees and to mine and stuff like that.
Kind of, yeah. But I don't think like where with Warcraft 3, like, you know how in like the old Warcraft games, they had like a goal, like, okay, well, you know, you have to go and beat this guy, so build up your forces and then just go beat this.
It's, no, that's why I said it's like a combination of Civ and that.
But another thing that they mentioned, and I mean, you'll probably understand this better. Like, I'm not saying I don't understand what they mean by this, but like when you have, instead of saying, okay, this one individual, go cut down trees.
Mm-hmm.
You assign a household to do that job. So then everyone in the household, that's their job. They are mm-hmm. they are now lumberjacks, so to speak. So
gotcha.
As that house grows, you get more and more lumberjacks or whatever, or they're constantly, like there's a like a steady stream of like, you don't have to worry about travel so much as far as like how long that one person has to travel out to get a tree and bring it back, because gotcha. There's multiple people automatically doing that job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're reading about it, but it's a very positive review of 3,500 reviews so far. But yeah, it's a city builder strategy simulation base building. And they compare it to, I don't have any games apparently that they would compare it to. So, but yeah, it's called Manor Lords. So, it's on my wish list. I definitely want to try it. Now, before we started this episode, I figured, okay, well, Rob, let's go and let's do some Reddit stuff. And so we just kind of tinkered around on Reddit a little bit. I don't use Reddit very often. And so you started looking through some of the Am I the Asshole posts. I started looking through some confessions posts.
And the stupid questions I looked through,
and
too.
And the stupid questions. And, man, I don't know. Like the confessions things got dark, like quick.
Yeah, the stupid questions were more like serious questions than like the crazy stupid ones they used to be. I'm just like, none of this is funny. It's just people asking questions, basically. It should just be called Reddit questions, not Reddit stupid questions.
Right. There was one confessions that I kind of giggled just reading the title, so I do want to start by just reading this one.
Okay.
Also,
I looked up that game. It says the only game that says it's similar to what I've played is City Skylines.
Okay. I wonder. I wonder why they don't compare it to things like Civ or like with you, like with your elf game there, Space Elves.
Stellaris.
Yeah. I mean, because I feel like it'd be similar, but I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to, like, it looks like a more detailed, like, I guess, because City Skylines is basically you're building a city and, like, laying out where yeah. everything goes and all that. Yeah. But, yeah, it looks like similar, except it's on a small, like, you put one house here and one thing here and a farm there. Like, it's, I guess it's kind of similar to that, too.
Yeah, it's just, it's like City Skylines, but if, like, another rival city wanted to attack you, they could.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so this Reddit confessions. I accidentally vacuumed my friend's pet hamster and she still doesn't know. That made me giggle. I know, listen, I know I'm a horrible person and I know that hamsters are cute. I used to own a hamster, but come on. It, listen, bad shit just kind of makes you chuckle sometimes. And this one caught me off guard. I have not read this story yet. I only read the title.
I mean, it might be the reason they might not know. Well, the reason they might not know is because you can't, like, I have vacuumed up a hamster or a mouse here and there in at my old work because we had a big shop vac and the hamsters and mice would escape. So sometimes you would, like, be vacuuming under stuff and be like, thoop.
Yeah.
And then you open the inside and the hamster's just running around inside the vacuum. It's like, oh, well hey, hello.
Maybe the hamster's alive then. I don't know. Like I said, I have not read this story. This is going to be the first time I'm reading it. So here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I, 17 female, has a friend. Already the fucking grammar's horrible. I has friend who is 2 years younger than me. Let's call her Michaela. Michaela and I loved her pet hamster. While this is past tense, I'm feeling bad for the hamster.
Well,
Mr. Pickles is the hamster's name. Mr. Pickles is a very cute and tiny hamster. One day earlier this week, I was asked if I could take care of Mr. Pickles since Michaela and her family will be away for a trip to Cebu, C-E-B-U.
No idea.
So I said yes. Big mistake. So I took Mr. Pickles from Michaela and went back to my house.
It might be a school, like something university.
Oh, maybe. I set everything for Mr. Pickles and got ready for bed that night. 2 days in and everything was fine. However, my younger sister took Mr. Pickles out of his cage and let him on the ground while I was vacuuming. I have a hard time seeing small objects, hence I have bad eyesight. So I vacuumed the whole living room until I got something stuck in it. I checked the vacuum and found that now almost half-dead hamster. Oh, God. I panicked and took him out and tried to make sure Mr. Pickles was all right. He was. So I took him back to his cage and went to rest. Only a few hours later, I heard my sister shouting at me that Mr. Pickles was unresponsive. I got up from the couch and then checked on him. He was limp and unresponsive, of course, so I panicked. I quickly called Michaela and told her Mr. Pickles had died, though I didn't tell her any of the things he endured, like when I vacuumed him up. So Michaela was sobbing since Mr. Pickles was her first ever pet. I still don't know what to do since I can't bring myself to tell her I was the cause of Mr. Pickles' death. Well, listen. First off, when you pulled him from the clutches of the vacuum, he seemed okay, you said, and he was alive. And then he died later. Maybe he just died of natural causes later?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe same he died, day. Maybe he was an old hamster. Died of old age. I don't know. I'm trying to spin it. Like, listen, obviously, yeah, you killed the lady's hamster by vacuuming it up. But, like, I don't know. When like, you... I guess... So, like, okay, if I had a pet mouse, Rob, and, you know, you were going around vacuuming the house, and I was gone on a road trip with B or whatever, and the mouse got out or whatever, and you killed my pet mouse, okay, by vacuuming it up.
Okay, well, first of all, as soon as I pulled it out of the vacuum, if this was not my mouse or hamster, I would have taken it to the vet.
Okay. But then what if the vet's like, oh yeah, it's going to be $600 and we can fix this right up?
I mean, I would then have to call you and be like, hey, I vacuumed up your hamster. The vet says it's $600 to fix it.
Okay. So already I'm going to tell you this. You're a better person than me.
Oh, boy.
Okay. But now, first off, say you pulled this mouse out of the vacuum and it was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to obviously break the news to me that the mouse is dead. But would you admit to vacuuming it up?
Yes.
And you would admit that you killed my mouse?
Yeah. For one, if it was vacuuming, you'd be like, you were vacuuming?
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, good job, I guess. Sure.
Yeah. And for two, I would be too guilty forever to not tell the truth about that.
Okay. See, that's okay. That was my first question, because admitting that an animal has died, but then admitting that you were the direct cause of it, two kind of different things. But I feel like with something like a hamster, and this is why I think you're a better person than me, something small like a hamster or a mouse or a rat, generally speaking, these animals, you can go to the animal stores, like the pet stores, and you can get these fairly cheap. Okay. I would legitimately, if you had a pet hamster and you left for, say you were going on your vacation in August. Okay. Now, mind you, specifically only with these like tiny, tiny animals, I would never.
I was going to say, do not try to replace Matilda.
No, I would never do this with something like a dog or a cat, things like that. Okay. But if you went and you were gone for like a week and I accidentally fucking stepped on your hamster, okay?
Right.
I would bring it to a pet store. I would try to buy a replacement hamster and just put it in the cage and pretend everything was okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that depends on what colors it is, because it's hard to match colors sometimes.
Yeah. But that's why I think you're a better person than me.
Plus, hamsters can be fucking assholes. So if like you replaced it with one that constantly bites, I think they would know it's their hamster.
Well, I don't know, because like if you came home and you're like, oh, fucker, why is my hamster like aggressive so much? I'll be like, oh, dude, that's fucked up. But yeah, he wasn't happy with me either. You know?
Yeah.
So. But yeah. Anyway. That's all. That's the only one that I even remotely found funny. It was sad. Like, I was going through some of these confessions, and like I told you, like, my stomach turned at just at the titles of some of these confessions.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, God. You know, the internet is a dark, dark place.
Mm.
And that's why we try to bring a little bit of light and a little bit of
Laughter
into this world, Rob.
We are doing a community service.
By we are not keeping the world turning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just me and you, the only ones keeping the world turning.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Everyone else trying to blow it up.
Yep. Okay, so the next question. It is D&D day today, and I know I complained about not being able to take my routine pre-D&D nap that I always end up feeling worse about when I wake up from it anyway. Because I always end up waking up very groggy, and I'm just like, oh, God, I gotta go do something now. Fuck. So on the topic of D&D, you are going to be, well, us as a group are going to be bringing Dungeons and Distractions back.
Yes.
And you are going to take the mantle of DM.
Yes.
For this go around.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who do remember or listened, I was the DM for the original Dungeons and Distractions group. So I am now passing this torch on to you.
Yes.
Sir.
Yeah. But the main reason I basically volunteered to be the DM is because I know that you run a lot of games and you never get to play. So I was like, I don't want Webby to have to run another game and not get to play. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have if I had to.
I know, because you're a martyr.
Yeah. I mean, it's that whole DM curse thing, you know? Like, it's one of those things that will bring joy to other people. Is there anything about the, like, I'm assuming, you know, you're going to create your own world for this?
I don't know. I was thinking about using the Lands of the Mist that I no longer am using, because I don't want to waste all the story potential I had there.
But then I'll know all about it.
Mm,
and Avalos will know some about it.
Yeah. Not particular stories.
That's true.
It's not going to be the same. Like, you guys might even be on the other side of the other continents that you've never been to.
Not make me have to go into that snowy fucking area for the third time. Okay.
Yeah, no. I was coming up with scenarios, like, to let you guys choose between. And so far, I have either working for Captain Candy and her pirate crew. Setting up a new thieves guild in Titan for Sapphire, starting Thousand Suns, since they're, you know, since your old crew cleaned out the Faceless Man's thing there, to start creating a new outpost for the Thousand Suns there. That was one of them. And then I was going to come up with two more, so you guys had four choices, but I haven't come up with those yet.
Okay.
But none of those so far are in the snowy realm.
That's fucking good. I've done that. I've done the same quest in that snowy area twice.
Yeah, I know.
And still never found conclusions really to it.
Nope, because both of those games fizzled out.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of got the opposite side of that.
Yeah,
in the...
I guess. But still, it's you know what it feels like as a player to go and to see a battle map, and then to see an enemy, and then to see other enemies pop up, like the elementals that we had to fight in that test.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, God, I know this fight because I've done this fight before. A dumb question. Has anybody mentioned what they've wanted to play yet?
No.
I didn't think so.
But, like, I mean, as I said earlier, basically it's you, Avalos, and four noobs, so...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess Sabrina's not really a noob, but I don't think she's played in quite a while. And I think she... I don't think she ever played 5e, did she? She only played 4e. But, I mean, she might play on her own, for all I know. I just know she hasn't played with us at all.
Yeah. I think she played 5e a little bit in the pack.
Mm.
Not much. Because I think the pack ended fairly soon after that. But, yeah. And then... I don't remember if the game that me and her were in when we did a module, we did like a module one shot thing with Colin.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was a 5e game, because that was him playtesting 5e when 5e was like just first coming out.
Gotcha.
And that's when I made my Abraham character of my my cleric of Joaquin, and I charged people money for my services. Mm. And I remember Sabrina didn't want to pay me, and she got knocked unconscious in a fight. So I took a gold from her pouch, and then I healed her. Because, I mean, I'm not going to not get paid. Mm. So, but I was fair about it. I didn't take her whole coin pouch or nothing. I took a gold, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I have an inkling of what Avalos might be leaning towards as far as a character.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be leaning towards a paladin.
Gotcha.
I'm sure moving forward, when people actually start talking about this more often, and we actually get closer to starting this, he'll have some questions for you. I feel like I have to either instantly take the healer spot, which I kind of don't want to do, but again,
so don't.
Four noobs, man. I don't want to die, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like to make basically a DM PC to travel along with you that I feel like is my character that's on your side. But because there are going to be six of you, I don't know that that's really feasible this time.
Right.
Because then you'd have a seven person group. So,
right.
But I mean, there's always workarounds. Plus, if Avalos is going to be a paladin, he can heal some.
Yeah, but like I don't feel like, so like with paladins and I guess certain types of druids, I don't feel like they make good full healers.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're good like off healers.
Yeah.
Like, they're good at like, okay, emergency case, like, oh, somebody went down, we need to get them back up, and you're closest, get them back up.
Yeah.
You know, but then you have your clerics, and God, who would be another full healer other than a cleric?
Bards.
Yeah, I guess bards could be a full healer.
And some builds of druid.
Yeah. But like the only reason I don't necessarily want to play a healer this go around is because if I made a healer, I'd want to make a cleric. I don't know. For me, when I think healer, cleric is my go-to. Because if I play a druid, I'm going to play something else. Like, I'm not going to want to play a healer when I'm a druid.
Yeah.
If I play a bard, though, I've already played a healer bard. And it was fine. It was good. I love the character. But I've already done that. You know? And then as far as clerics go, okay, when I think clerics, I think healer, I think life cleric. But I play a life cleric in another game on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Like, at this point, I've literally played almost every class.
Yeah.
Granted, I haven't played far into every class. But since we're just shooting the shit, if I don't know if you've thought about any of these things, what are your rulings going to be? Because I understand that there are more new people than not. What are your rulings going to be as far as like class and race choices, homebrew things, anything like that? Like, give me the rundown of what you're thinking of right now, even if it's possibly subject to change.
I mean, any race, as long as they're in the actual like official races, is fine. Classes, I'm willing to do homebrew classes as long as we can talk about them first. Because obviously, I played homebrew classes. Why would I bar other people from doing it?
Well, I didn't know if maybe you wanted to, at least at first, bar people from doing it. Just because, you know, essentially you have four people who aren't used to D&D, supposedly.
That's true. Yeah.
But, like, then again, I don't know if Fox plays D&D outside of any type of distractions.
Yeah, I know Heather and B definitely know nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, B played a little bit in John's game, but I don't think she played enough to, like, really understand how it works.
Right.
And Heather has never played.
Right.
I don't know about Fox at all, and like I said, I know Sabrina did play. She may have played more than I know of, like, personally.
So, I mean, as a DM, maybe that's something where you might want to put into that chat and specifically ask Fox and Sabrina, like, hey, what is your guys, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you know about D&D, or how much do you feel you know about D&D 5e? Like, how comfortable are you with, are you with, like, the rule sets and everything like that, you know? Like, I personally don't mind if we're going into this and Rita knows nothing, Fox knows nothing, Heather knows nothing, and B knows nothing, I have no problem going into this and kind of helping teach them along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know as a DM, like, what it's like. Okay, it's like, okay, well, you guys don't know anything about D&D, so sorry for maybe the two who do, but for this, at least for the first leg of this, let's keep homebrew to a minimum, if not non-existent, you know, just until people can figure things out. Because, I mean, I will say most homebrew classes, though as balanced as they could be, are usually more powerful than less powerful on that scale. So I wouldn't necessarily want to take fun away from other people by being a homebrew class or race or whatever.
Right.
But I mean, that's also just something that you could just pitch into the chat too. Like, you know, you could just say, hey, I'm a DM that I generally allow homebrew type things, and I'm willing to work with you if there's like an idea or a concept that you have, and just gauge what they think, or if they would rather just learn D&D off of the official D&D stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could even leave that decision up to the group, so right. to speak. Everybody's different. I just didn't know like what you had in mind, so I could at least start thinking about what I might want to do. Because I really have, like, thinking about this, like, my thought has instantly just been, great, I'm going to be stuck being the healer, because no one else is either going to want to do it or understand how to do it. And I obviously, we don't want people to die. So.
Right. But
if that's not the case, then, you know, the only other thing that I had thought of is I haven't really played too much of sorcerers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not played around much with warlocks. Or I could just do the one warlocks.
Yeah, but that's because you hate warlocks.
Well, I don't hate warlocks. I hate what people use warlocks for, which just so happens to be the two classes that I'm not, that I haven't really played much with, are perfect for multiclassing into each other, and I could just do what everyone else does, but I wouldn't want to do that. So. Okay, so it looks like Fox and Sabrina both know 5e at least, so. I don't know. I'm probably going to do the same thing that I always do, and I'll just choose my character class last, and I'll just ask you periodically when people give you ideas of what they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just choose my class based off of that. Like, I know in John's game, I made a fighter solely because I told him that I didn't want it to turn into Fate, and I didn't want to be like the fucking
MacGuffin,
the spotlight. I didn't want to be the person who was constantly in the spotlight talking, because nobody else would. So I made literally the most boring character I could think of, and I just made a champion fighter. Just straight up, they don't do a whole lot. They're literally just, I'm going to see something and smack it.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned around to being fucking people worshiping me. And because I was a Minotaur, and I don't know, I was just like, okay, I'll never outrun this, I guess. All right, so you're thinking about using the Lands in the Mist. Homebrew stuff undetermined as of right now. Other than that, any class and any races that are in the official books are fine. What about as far as race, like the races that are like, you know how they have like the one set of races, then they revamped the races. So like you have, I forget what they're called.
Yeah, no, I want to stick with like the classic ones. So
the older,
like,
okay.
Yeah, the ones I mean, I get
improvements and stuff.
I get why, like, unless somebody really is like, no, well, I really want to play this a half orc wizard and I want to be able to boost his intelligence. But like, you know what? Fine.
The only issue with that too, though, which I'm fine with, because I use a lot of the races from the older one. The only issue with that is when you get into races that are newer, that have come out recently, like your Astral Elf, your Autonomes, your Gifts, your Plasmoids, and then even more recently, they've released, where is it? The Kurvan, which are Deerfolk, Corvum, which are, I guess, like bird crow-like folk, even though there's already a crow race. Gallus, which is your rooster folk. Hedge, which are hedgehogs. Gerbeans, which are like mouse folk. Lumas, which are smaller than most bird folk. Mapox, or whatever, which are raccoons. They're raccoon-like race. Raptors, which are not the dinosaur, but they're like hawks and eagles type birds specifically. And then Vulpins, which are your fox-like ones. Because those all came with the Humblewood campaign setting. None of those have... All of those things follow the newish rules where it's like, okay, I choose a +2 to 1 score and +1 into another. So... I mean, if somebody wanted to be that, then, I mean, you could just tell them what you think they should put it into. But, God, now I want to be a Gallus fucking bard and be like that rooster from the fucking Robin Hood animated movie. The one who, like, the narrator rooster.
Oh, yeah. He was a bard, I think.
Yeah.
Like, didn't he always play, like, a... Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said, now I want to play a Gallus bard, the rooster
from
the
bard. Gotcha.
Legacy races is what I was thinking. Yeah. Man, I even had a Grung character that I was playing. That game fell through. I finally got to make a Grung. I'm never going to be able to play any of these character ideas that I've had building up.
You could do like I do. Just if you've only played like one or two sessions, just switch that player over to a new game.
No. Maybe this game I'll actually go through and be able to play this. So you remember in WoW, I know you didn't play WoW often or much, but do you remember the dwarf who was like the... He was always hunting. I forget his name now. And he had a big quest line in Stranglethorn where it's like, oh yeah, go kill all these fucking saber-toothed tigers. Go kill these wolves. Go kill this and bring me back their hides. Man, what was his name? Dwarf. If I could spell dwarf right. Hunter in WoW.
Mm-hmm.
NPC. It's funny, he had a dumbass name. Oh yeah, Hemet Nezingwary. Remember him at all?
Yeah, Nezingwary's stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
It was in the... Like, they were all basically, like, he had a hunter camp, and you had to hunt down a bunch of different stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about making something similar to that, like, very, mm-hmm. like, safari-esque. And I was going to make a GIF, which is the big hippopotamus race.
Mm-hmm.
Because their GIF traits, they get firearms mastery. And then whatever fucking astral spark is, I don't know. I just was going to take it for their firearm mastery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to actually use firearms. Because we don't really utilize firearms very often in games.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're considered a humanoid. Their size is medium. 30-foot walking speed. You have a swim speed equal to your walking speed, which means you can fight underwater without any type of disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Astral spark, your psychic connection to the astral plane, enables you to mystically access a spark of divine power, which you can channel through your weapons. When you hit a target with a simple or martial weapon, you can cause the target to take extra force damage equal to your proficiency bonus. You can use this trait a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, but you can use it no more than once per turn. You regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. So that's just additional force damage, and like you're talking like 3 force damage at a mid-level.
Mm-hmm.
Firearms mastery, you have mystical connection to firearms that traces back to the gods of the GIF who delighted in such weapons. You have proficiency with all firearms and ignore the loading property of any firearm. In addition, attacking at long range with a firearm doesn't impose disadvantage on your attack roll. And then hippo build, you have advantage on strength-based ability checks and strength saving throws. In addition, you count as one size larger when determining your carrying capacity and weight that you can push, drag, or lift. So yeah, I was going to make like a safari-esque hippo sniper. So that was one of the characters that I had in my stable of characters.
Mm-hmm.
I see you chatting back and forth in the distractions chat now.
Yeah, I'm doing what you just suggested I do. But yeah, I mean, I know how that is. Like, I have characters that I, especially since I always enjoy, like, the roleplay aspect of characters more than, like, mm-hmm. their mechanics of combat and stuff. So, like, I have several characters that I only got to play a few sessions with that I still, like, I would bring back if I have a chance. Like, my Goliath Paladin, like, I want to put him in another game if I can at some point, because I only got to play really 2 sessions with him, and I liked his backstory. See, and everything. And
I would love to play my wolf-kind boxer that was in that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But not only is the wolf-kind a homebrew race, but that boxer was a homebrew class.
Yeah.
So So changelings can change their shape at any time just using an action.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like a limitation per day, huh?
I don't think so. I think there's certain things that prevent them from changing.
Well,
I know like the moonlight spell or something like that.
Yeah, moonbeam will revert them back to their original form.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. I was just making sure that it wasn't like, oh yeah, shape changers can change their appearance up to you know, proficiency bonus times a day. Because, no, like, I think another thing...
Basically, they're, like, more for mystique, where they just constantly can change what they look like.
Yeah, because I was... Another thought idea that I had was going to be a changeling assassin, essentially. But, you know... Man, I don't know. I just I don't know. I have too many thoughts and not enough stuff.
Stuff and things.
What are we talking about? I do. I must not have my membership on D&D Beyond anymore.
Oh.
I mean, it was only $2 a month. So, you know what? I bet the card that I used for it probably expired, and I just didn't realize. Anyway, and then there was my Harangon, my little fucking school of scribe wizard that I played, that I loved, but that game got squashed. Man, I just don't know. Anyway, what else do you want to talk about? Do you have anything else you want to talk about as far as that campaign?
No, you still must have it, because I just logged in and I have access to everything. Unless I don't pay for mine, so...
Yeah.
Are you not signed in? Because when you just Google you're automatically...
I'm signed in.
Yeah? Then I don't know. It still shows me everything. I mean, unless I might have some from other people.
I wonder if there's a way you can tell what thing you have.
If you click on, there should be the subscribe thing. It should tell you.
Where?
And with his collections, game rules, blah, blah, blah. At the end of that list, subscribe. If you click on that, it should show you what one you have or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it shows me start free trial for both the hero and the master.
Yeah.
So...
You must have had the master, though, because it says share unlock content with other players, which is what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I must be...
Yeah, no, it says... Oh, no, okay, so when I click on that, now it shows me that that's my current plan already.
Okay. And then, I was going to say, because I still have everything unlocked, so.
Okay, it's showing me my next charge will be on May 3rd. Good to know. Because that's an annual, like, once a year cycle.
Mm.
When's the 3rd? That's next Friday. All right. Yeah. All right. Good. Glad we sorted that one out. I forget what I was even talking about now.
Yeah, you were asking me more about if I had anything else about the game. But no, other than coming up with the two other scenarios, I think one of them I was thinking of, just like you received a letter, like you're looking for work and you received, like, you found a flyer, or received a letter that was like, meet here at this tavern for a job or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, what I'm planning to do is, I saw online, is I'm going to have each of you write down rumors that other players would have heard about you, and they can be true, they can be true but exaggerated or embellished, or false. And then I randomly give the other players rumors they've heard about your character.
Oh, okay. Like two truths, one lie?
It doesn't even have, like, they could all be lies if you really want it to be. Oh. Or they could all be true, like whatever you decide to say about yourself. But that basically gives you guys like a starting point to break the ice. Like, the only thing is if you decide, like, if any of you decide to already know each other, obviously I won't need a rumor for that person. But like for everybody else, you'd have to make up some rumors that they've heard about you. But like if you're like, oh, no, me and Avalos talked and we're going to be brothers, obviously I wouldn't need to know a rumor that Avalos would know about you. Heard about you, so.
Right. That's right. I had an issue with the Order of the Scribes thing because before they made it actual content, their big thing was that they could scribe things into their spellbook faster and cheaper than other wizards.
Right.
But since they made it actual content, they changed it to where the quill that you use, now it's you can scribe things into your spellbook faster, but instead of making it cheaper, you don't require ink with that pen. And you can erase what you wrote if you wave the feather over the text as a bonus action. And I'm like, I would just much prefer to buy ink and transcribe stuff for like half the cost like it originally was.
Yeah.
Wizards are... It costs a lot of money to be a wizard. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, but then you have like devastating spells that can kill things, like a lot of things at once.
Yeah. I did like the aspect of that Order of the Scribes thing where I could like send like this ghostly phantom of my spell book into a cave and then cast spells from the spell book as its source. So I could send I could send the book into a cave and then fireball a bunch of kobolds without even having to go into the cave. But anyway, well, that's about 50 minutes. So I think that's going to be our episode. Besides, we have 15 minutes left until our D&D game that I run. Which we haven't played in a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
And then you guys get to divvy up loot.
Yep.
That's what we're going to start off with, because last time, you looted a prison.
We did. And I don't know what any of the things are, because I forgot to look them up.
Why would you be looking them up?
To know what they did.
Of course.
Know if I want them.
Yeah, I'll be posting. I should have actually been posting those into that chat. I said I would. I didn't. So, besides, you wouldn't know what they do until you identify them or attune to them.
Yeah, I know, but you already had put the names down, because...
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm going to take those wizard robes.
Good luck.
I mean, I have no use for them, but I want them.
Jesus Christ.
Just so that Tyrus can't have them.
You're going to have a very upset wizard on your hands.
Fine, I'll take the staff.
You're going to have a very upset wizard on your hands.
Fine, I'll take the wish.
You're going to have a very upset wizard on your hands.
Listen, Tyrus can't have everything.
Yeah, but there's so much more stuff there.
I don't want any of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You just chose the three things that the wizard wants. All right. Well, what's that, everybody? Do we have a science score? What was that thing that I sent you about the explosion in the sky?
I did that last week.
Oh.
I thought you listened to it.
Listen, I don't listen to the science corners.
Wow.
Once I get in, once I start getting into like the sign off parts when I'm not in the episode, I just exit.
Science is good. I did have one, but now I can't remember what it was.
I have a question.
Sure.
Only because it was in Supernatural last night, and I don't know if it's an actual thing. Obviously, the item itself wouldn't be supernatural, but I didn't know if, like, the if when this happens, it has a special name. But they were looking up something, and they said, "Oh yeah, that's essentially when lightning strikes sand and crystallizes it."
Mm-hmm.
But like one in a million chance or whatever that when lightning strikes the sand, it will crystallize in the shape of the lightning.
Mm.
Or something. Is that an actual thing? Listen, that's how glass is made, folks. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember the movie Sweet Home Alabama.
I fucking love that movie, and I've been trying to get B to watch it.
But yeah, they call it petrified lightning. But that's like, that's what here the guy that she ends up with is doing for a living. Like, he's putting the things on the beach to make the petrified lightning.
And then he sells it. As, like, sculptures, right? In his,
But I think it actually has a mineral name. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, it's glass. If I lived near a beach, I would do that.
It's called fulgurite.
Fulgurite, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what they mentioned on Supernatural. Okay, good. Good. So that's when lightning strikes sand and crystallizes the sand into the shape of lightning. So, hey, see, I helped you with a science corner. I don't know if you want that to be your science corner or not. That was just a question. Did you want that to be your science corner?
Sure.
Sure. See, I helped with the science corner, folks.
You did.
All right. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at Confessor_X and on Twitch at twitch.tv/ConfessorX, which is where we will be playing this game so you can actually watch it. And then we're going to be saving the audio to put back out on the Dungeons and Distractions podcast.
Yeah. Any ETA on when people might be able to start seeing and listening to this?
I mean, pretty soon, hopefully. Okay. I still have to figure out how to, like, do the thing with all the cameras and stuff on the stream. But other than that, I mean, and then doing the characters and picking. But, I mean, it shouldn't be too much longer. He's supposed to help me with all this, but like you said, sometimes she gets distracted, so...
Well, I mean, big life events changing in the next month or so, or a couple months.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, everybody, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word, on Twitch at DM Webby, and on eBay at I Finally Talked to Devin, and he's on a vacation right now.
Yeah.
But he is hoping to get this new position at his work, and he will not be working stupid hours anymore.
Yay.
So with that, I thank everybody for listening, and fuck Booster Gold and all that happy.
Fuck Booster Gold.
We love you. Stay safe. Don't you love my musical stuff?
It's amazing.
Fucking amazing. Well, that's a different type of music because that's my alarm set for D&D.